Grace to and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please be seated. Our service today began with a solemn declaration from the pastor, "Remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return." But this is nothing that is unknown to the world at large. Though we may not like to dwell on our own mortality, and though we may shudder at the thought of our loved ones dying, every single human being is at least intellectually aware of the objective reality of death. Not just objectively, but subjectively too. That death is not something that is just out there, but something that will happen to me someday too. And if someone, somehow, some way, was actually able to convince himself that he had a fighting chance to avoid death, I'm sure the last year disabused him of that notion. Regardless of your thoughts about the actual severity of COVID-19, there's been more than enough death for all sorts of reasons over the last 11 months. Yes, the whole world is quite familiar with the concept of death in general, and all those who dwell in the world will inevitably come face to face with death as a personal fate as well. And when that happens, when one comes face to face with death as a real possibility, it will almost always provoke action from that person. Again, the last 11 months are proof of this. Masks, lockdowns, social distancing, all because of the possibility of death. Whether because of respiratory failure or overextended medical professionals and facilities. But it's not just a pandemic that moves men to act in the face of death. A diagnosis of high blood pressure will lead to an improved diet, increased exercise. A brush with mortal peril will lead to a renewed appreciation for the joys and blessings of daily life. A terminal diagnosis will lead to a desire to spend quality time with friends and family while there is still time left. These actions may have temporal benefits. They may be of some use in this world. It's good to take heed to your neighbor's health and well-being and take reasonable steps to protect it. It's good to take care of this body and this life, to treat it with respect. It's good to be thankful and appreciative for all that one has received in this body and life. It's good to spend time and to love those who are closest to you in your words and deeds. But as good as these actions may be, they do not solve the problem at the root of it all, that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. You can wear 2, 3, or however many masks you like. You can shut yourself up in your house and cut off all human contact. You can eliminate all fat, sugar, salt, cholesterol, alcohol, or anything else from your diet. You can devote your entire life to physical health and fitness. But no matter what you do, in the end, you are dust, and you will still return to the dust. You will die someday. You will say goodbye to your loved ones someday. And there is nothing, not a single earthly thing you can do to prevent it. But again, the world knows this, even if the world doesn't want to admit it. So in the first place, the message of the season of Lent in general, and of Ash Wednesday in particular, is not just that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The pastors are not here today to tell you that you will simply die, so take better care of your bodies and live life to the fullest. You don't need to sit in the pew to know that. You can hear all of that out there. Well, the message of Ash Wednesday is not just that you are dust, it is also why you are dust. You are dust because you bear the image of the man of dust, Adam. He is your first father. From him you have inherited everything, not only his flesh and blood, his body and soul, passed down to you through the generations. You've also received from him sin, and its wages, death. Like father, like children, you have not only inherited his sin, but you've also added thereto. You followed in his sinful footsteps, in anger, in lust, in greed, in deceit, in apathy, even antagonism toward the God who created you and to his holy word. You are like your father Adam, and therefore you will be like Adam. You will die. You will return to the ground, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. From the time of Adam's fall, God has sent preachers to proclaim this very message to sinners, to the world, sin and judgment. Patriarchs and priests and prophets and apostles and pastors all throughout the centuries have preached God's law to mankind, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, that those sins have truly offended God and earned his wrath and displeasure, that the wages of sin is bodily death here in time and the torments of hell in eternity. This same law stands against you today. You are dust, and to dust you shall return, because you have sinned and done what is evil in God's sight. And you deserve by your works nothing less than everlasting condemnation. Now this message, like the message of death, this message of sin and God's wrath, will likewise move a person to action. Throughout the scriptures, we find numerous examples of sinners who have responded to the word of God's righteous judgment against their sin with outward actions, rending garments, putting on sackcloth, weeping and lamentation, fasting, and yes, even casting ashes upon oneself. Now, certainly, these external displays of piety can be abused, as our Lord warns us in our gospel lesson today. They can be abused when they are done in order to earn the praise of men. Nevertheless, such outward expressions of sorrow over sin and fear of God's wrath are not automatically or by definition sinful. Not when they arise from a heart that knows the depths of its need and misery. If you've received ashes this day, if you are fasting or abstaining from anything this season, do not do so in order to be seen by others. Do not do so in order to earn the praise of others. Rather, let it come from a heart that is repentant. Let it come from a heart that recognizes its need and misery. And yet, all of these practices, as good as they may be, will not save you from death either, no more than masks or exercise will. Much less will such practices save you from your sins. If your sins have truly offended God, your Creator, and earned His eternal wrath, do you think a smudge on your forehead, or skipping desserts for 40 days, or a month without social media will atone for that? Certainly not. The price of your sins is far greater than whatever pieties or works you can muster. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. And if all you can offer in return for your sins is your own righteous works, then you have no hope for any different fate. And so, in the second place, the message of the season of Lent in general, and of Ash Wednesday in particular, is not just that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Nor is it simply that you are dust because you bear the image of the man of dust, Adam, by following in his sinful footsteps. This is an important message to hear. You must know that you have deserved death because you have offended God by your sins. But the pastors are not here in order to disfigure your faces or make you look gloomy. For this message alone, the message of God's wrath against sin, is not in any way able to help you out of that sin. No, the message of Ash Wednesday, the message of the season of Lent, the message that your pastors have been called by God Himself to bring to you, is the same message that has been proclaimed to sinners from the very beginning, beginning with God Himself, who promised an offspring from the woman after Adam's sin. This message has been proclaimed by those same patriarchs and priests and prophets and apostles and pastors who have also preached God's law to sinners. This message is not what works you ought to do to to atone for your sins, but rather the work that God has done for you to atone for your sins. This message is the word of what action God has taken when he saw you in your wretched state. It is the gospel, the good news. The good news that we heard proclaimed by Joel well over 2,000 years ago. That the Lord your God is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, that he relents over disasters. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Who knows? We know. For as St. Peter writes in our epistle today, we have the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, knowledge that has come to us from his holy word alone. And that knowledge is not simply that God is angry over sin. Rather, this knowledge is of his precious and very great promises. Promises of the forgiveness of sins, not by our works, but for the sake of Jesus and his work. And through these promises, we may become partakers of the kingdom of heaven, the divine nature. You see, it's not by your works, no matter what those works might be, that you may escape from death, that you may be free from sin. No, rather, it's through faith, which receives the promises of God delivered to you in the gospel. It's through these promises received by faith alone that you become partakers of the divine nature, that you will become sons of God and heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Your works could never save you from bodily death, much less spiritual death in hell. But the Lord has been moved to action. The Lord has been prompted to deliver you, for he had pity on you. And so he sent his only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to be born of a woman, flesh and blood just like you, made a man of dust just like you. He fasted for 40 days in the wilderness for you, suffering all the temptations of the evil one and overcoming them by the word of God for you. He went to the cross for you, bearing your griefs and carrying your sorrows. He was pierced for your transgressions. He was crushed for your iniquities. That death, which is the just wages which you have earned for your sins, that death that is common to all mankind because all have sinned, Jesus suffered that death as your perfect substitute for you and for all people. It's because of his great love for his Father and for you, Jesus Christ was willing to suffer all, even death on the cross, that by his death, he might purchase and win for you forgiveness of your sins, life out of death and salvation from hell. By the death of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our perfect substitute, we have the remedy for those sins which bring us death. And by his glorious resurrection from the dead, which he accomplished for us on the third day, just as he promised, we have the hope of resurrection and life everlasting ourselves. As he promises, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Yes, in the risen Lord Jesus Christ, through the promise of the gospel, received by faith alone, we have entrance into his eternal kingdom. You are dust. But on the last day, you will no longer bear that image of the man of dust. Instead, you will bear the image of the man of heaven. Having a perishable, dishonorable, weak, and natural body transformed into an imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual body, like your Lord's. But for now, in this earthly life, we retain the image of the man of dust. The guilt of our sins is not counted against us for Jesus' sake. Thanks be to God. But we still sin daily and much. We still surely deserve nothing but punishment. Though we have the sure and certain hope of the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting, still death shadows us. We will still die someday in this body. When the snares of death surround us, when our sins oppress us, when the law of God has brought us low to see the depth of our need and misery, who then shall help? Where shall we go for refuge? Not to works, not to efforts, not to pieties or practice of religion, but rather return to the Lord your God, that is, to his promises as found in the gospel. What he has done for you, the water of holy baptism, the word of absolution, the bread and wine that is Jesus' true body and true blood in the Lord's Supper. For there God is at work, the gracious and merciful Lord your God, who has had pity on you, who delivers to you all that he won in his death for your sins. This holy Ash Wednesday, as we begin this holy season of Lent, remember that you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Remember that you will die. Remember that you are a sinner. God's law has declared it, and there is no works of yours that can change it. But remember also that you will live. Remember that you will live forever, because you have received the precious and very great promises of the gospel by faith, the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for you. Remember that you are dust, but you are not only dust. You are Christ's. Remember to dust that you shall return, but not only there. You will also return to Christ, and you will enter into his eternal kingdom. In his name, amen. Please stand.